Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
Welcome to episode one of a special series of podcasts called Christians in the Time of Coronavirus. All of us are here hunkered down in our homes, many of us working from home, and I just thought it'd be good to think through some scriptures and helpful passages to help us get through this season, which as of now seems uncertain and indefinite and can produce all kinds of feelings from fear to anxiety to some listening may actually be sick or be infected, losing jobs, economic uncertainty, all sorts of things. And as Christians, maybe we're consumed with the news, following our social media feeds, getting the TikTok daily updates of measures that are being put in place, developments that are happening in terms of fighting the virus, which can all be good and to keep us informed, but can also sort of catechize our soul toward fear and toward calamity in ways that are unhealthy. And so it's good for us in times like this to really lean in on what we believe as Christians and lean in on the scriptures. And so this first devotional that I'd like to share is Shutting Down So Others Might Live. And I want to focus on two passages, first Genesis 1:26 and then Exodus 20:12. Genesis 1:26, I want to read here. This is a familiar passage for many of us. This is from the creation story, the creation narrative, God creating all things. And I find it particularly fascinating when Moses narrates the creation of the world, that for everything in creation, God spoke it into existence with his mouth and shows the power of God's word. But Moses pauses his narration and slows down when he describes the way that God created human beings. And I think this will give us some insight into why our society is going through all of these drastic measures. All of us are sacrificing, shared sacrifice, some more than others, in order to preserve the lives of the most vulnerable who could be infected with the coronavirus. So I want to read here from Genesis 1:26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." Then I want to skip to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, it's almost like Moses kind of narrates a little bit the creation of human beings, and again uses very exalted language that he does not use with any other kind of creature or anything else God created. Genesis 2, let's start in verse 20. "The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib and had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man.'" So in these two passages, we see a couple of things. First of all, we see, again, the care and thoughtfulness that the Godhead put into creating human beings. Notice in the passage we read from chapter 1, we see here just kind of a hint of the Trinity. In verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." Nowhere else in the rest of the creation narrative is such divine deliberation given. In other words, for the creation of humans, it was the most thought, the most care, the most deliberation. Let us create man in our, image. To be created in God's image means that every human being in some way reflects God, is a reflection of God. Every human being has something of God in them. This is not the same as like pantheism, where you know every single thing is godlike or anything like that. But every single human being reflects God. That means every human you've ever interacted with has the image of God. And this is not dependent on our ability to do things, although some of the things that we do as humans are godlike things that we reflect, right? So thinking and feeling and creating are all things that when we do that, they tell us a little bit something about God, right? So the God is a creator who created us to create, and so we create things. But the image of God is also just a stamp that God has put on every human being, regardless of their utility. You see, even after the fall in Noah, in Genesis 9, where God, after the flood, even in a fallen world, says every human being bears the image of God. And even in James, where James says, be careful the language you use with each other, because every person you're talking to is an image bearer. And so I think it's very important for us to understand this. And then obviously in Genesis 2, it talks about the care that God used, that he reached down with his hands into the dust and sculpted humans from the dust of the ground. Every other creature was created with God's, the word of his mouth, but human beings were sculpted by the God's hands with the dust of the ground. See the care there. In Psalm 139, David talks about every human being knit in their mother's womb. So what does this have to do with the coronavirus? Well, I think it has a lot to do with, in the sense that as a society, we are making the collective decision right now, as of now, to say we are willing to pause almost everything we're doing, not essential functions, but almost everything we're doing. People are working from home. People are, corporations are shutting down. Some corporations are shifting their processes to create ventilators, to create masks. We're mobilizing all of our resources that we have as a country, from the military to Congress to everything we've got. Why? We're doing it for one reason, because this virus disproportionately harms the most vulnerable among us. Now, many young people can get the virus and be okay and recover from it, although some have not. But we know that elderly populations, people ages maybe 60 and over, or people who have immunocompromised health, that if they get it, it could hurt them. And a more utilitarian society would say, is it really worth saving them? They don't contribute much to us. But our society, which has a lot of issues and there's a lot of things in culture we don't like that we should speak out on as Christians, it's good to know that we're still informed by this ethic that says, no, the elderly, the most vulnerable among us, are worthy of protection. Why? Well, as Christians, we say that because they're made in the image of God. And so I think it's important for us to think about this as we're going about this, as our lives are changing. We're doing this because we want to save and preserve the lives of the elderly, of the vulnerable. We're saying these people are valuable. These people have worth. I want to point to another passage in Exodus chapter 20 that you're also probably very familiar with. It's also repeated in the New Testament a few times. Exodus chapter 20, this is in the Ten Commandments. And Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this is a pretty common passage, I think, for Christians to know and understand. As a parent, this is something that we are telling our four kids constantly, that you're to honor us. God has given us to you as your parents in order to help shape and mold and guide your lives. I think most Christians understand this as a kind of verse to supplement passages that say, you know, obey your father and mother. You know, you should honor your parents. You should respect them. I think it's also a passage that many of us apply to maybe if we're adults, but we're still we're adult children, a way of respecting our parents, even as adults, of honoring them. But it has a much deeper meaning in the in the Jewish culture that God was trying to establish here among his new creation people in Israel. What it really means to honor your father and mother really means to take care of them, to secure their welfare and their health. So this was God instituting this sort of policy in Israel as they're setting up their new country as a new creation people of God's people that would make them distinct from the rest of the nations. Let's remember the Ten Commandments were given to them not only because they're good moral principles by which God has kind of ordained the world to work, but these are good not only that, but he also wanted to make them distinct. The passages leading up to this talk about how God has rescued his people. And because he's the God who rescues, he's the God who says, this is now how you should live. I rescued you for this purpose. And this would make them distinct. In the ancient Near East, it was not customary to honor elderly folks. In fact, you know, they were kind of considered disposable, as they have been in many societies throughout human history. But the people of Israel would be different. They would assign a value, a worth to people whom maybe the rest of society might not consider having worth. They would be to be treasured and honored. Jesus carries this forward in the New Testament. Even when he chides some of the religious leaders for trying to find loopholes instead of caring for their elderly parents. As Christians, this is important to us. I'm often intrigued sometimes when I talk to Christians. It's not common, but occasionally as a pastor, I've run into situations where Christians have kind of neglected elderly relatives, kind of let them languish in nursing homes and hospitals and places like that. And as Christians, this should not be. We are the people who see value in people that maybe others in society do not. We're the first ones to say, no, that elderly person in the nursing home who can't recognize his family is bears as much of the image of God as a young, virile athlete. They're as important. As the church, we should be saying, the people we want in our midst, that we want to welcome, are the vulnerable. So we say at our church, we should say, you are welcome here, and we want you, whether or not you are 45 years old and make good money and can serve in all these great ways, or you're 85 years old and you can barely make it to church and can't really produce much, or whether you're a disabled person or a person that has severe mental deficiencies, that you are as valuable as anybody. And so as we go through this excruciating time of the coronavirus, and we're nervous and we're scared and we don't know why we're doing this and maybe a little frustrated, let's keep in mind and keep in front of us the most vulnerable, and remember that as Christians we are doing this because every person's made in the image of God, and elderly people, we should honor them and go out of our way and do what we can and make the sacrifices in order so that they can be protected and not harmed. And so hopefully that gives you some encouragement. I know it's difficult. I'm doing this from my house. I don't normally work from home. Making all these adjustments is a little hard and difficult, but this is something that, at least in this moment, God has called us to do. So the next several devotionals will focus on finding hope in the midst of this crisis. So thank you for joining me today, Dan Darling, here with Christians in a Time of Coronavirus.
Thanks for listening to Christians in a Time of Coronavirus, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you like what you've heard today, we hope that you'll share our podcast with your friends. And we'd love for you to leave us a review so more listeners can find us. To learn more about Dan Darling's books, projects, and podcasts, head over to his website, danieldarling.com, or check out the show notes of this episode. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and me, Stephen McGarvey. It was edited by Stephen Sanders. For more Faith Toolkit podcasts, head over to lifeaudio.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.